This is Press Play on KCRW. I'm Madeline Brand.
Bon appetit.
Where's the lamb chop?
Creamy, salty, sweet, and oaky nuttiness.
15 minutes bake-off, queens.
And then we add the whiskey. Boom! Flames.
Bam! That's a little bit like that.
Pie.
Well, Mother's Day is this weekend. And to help us celebrate, KCRW's Evan Kleinman is here with a recipe for a festive dessert, a pavlova. Yum. Kids, if you're listening, that's my favorite.
Me too. It's such a big bang for the amount of work you put in.
It really is. It's quite a showstopper. You definitely get a lot of oohs and ahs. For people who do not know what it is, what is the one-line description?
Well, it is billows of meringue that are baked in a variety of different shapes so that the outside is crisp and the inside is kind of chewy or billowy. And then it's topped usually with whipped cream, but you can also use some kind of tangy curd, and then usually finished off with a blizzard of fruit.
Right. You can put anything you want in it, right?
Yeah. I mean, one of the best I ever had was in France, and one of the young chefs I was working with had made the meringue with pink peppercorns, and that was just fabulous.
Oh, wow. So basically, it's a big bowl of meringue, and you can put whatever you want in that bowl.
Yeah, some people don't even make it into a bowl. Some people just make it into a slab. So it has many, many different applications.
And the pavlova is named after a Russian ballerina, right?
Yes, Anna Pavlova, who was touring Australia and New Zealand in the 1920s. And apparently this dish sprang up inspired by her ballet skirts. And the nationality is hotly debated between Australia and New Zealand.
Aha. Okay, so it's in honor of Anna Pavlova, and the meringue looks like her big billowy white skirt. And so it sounds intimidating. It looks intimidating, but it's really easy to make. So tell us how to make it.
Yeah, it's super easy to make. And I'm a person who has a terrible time with making meringue for pies. But pavlova has the addition of cornstarch and vinegar to the egg white and superfine sugar, which stabilizes the foam that you make from beating the egg whites. And it gives you that really unique texture, crispy on the outside, chewy on the inside.
And why do you use cornstarch and vinegar?
It makes the bubbles be smaller, so they're more stable, so you don't have these giant bubbles that may break.
Now, I get a little neurotic about cracking my eggs, and if there's like a whisper of the yolk or the yellow in my egg whites, I throw it all out. Am I overthinking it?
No. One of the things that can prevent your meringue from billowing as much as you like is if your bowls and your beaters aren't perfectly clean. So what I like to do is I just put a little bit of distilled vinegar on a paper towel and I wipe down the whole inside of the bowl and the beaters.
So you whip it up with the vinegar, the cornstarch, the superfine sugar, and then what do you do?
You can either do what you do. You make it in the form of a beautiful cake with a bowl. How do you get that shape? Do you pipe it?
No, I just use spoons in my hands and hope for the best.
Yeah. Some people will create a sort of provisional bowl, and then to make it more sort of finished, they'll pipe the outside so it looks very, very finished. I tend to just sort of glop it on a parchment lined sheet pan, and I make it into a big oval with a slight depression in the center. And usually mine aren't more than about 3 inches tall.
And then you pop it in the oven.
And then you put it in an oven, and typically you start it at one temperature and immediately lower it as soon as you put it in. So some recipes have you start at 350 and turn it down to 300. Some recipes have you start at 300 and turn it down to 250.
And then it doesn't take very long.
No, it doesn't take long, very long at all. Some recipes will have you let it cool in the oven. I don't like to do that because mine is pretty low, and I really want the chewy center to stay. I don't want it to be crisp all the way through. So I take it out and let it cool, at room temperature.
And so if you're bringing this to impress guests at a dinner party or whatever, you can do this ahead of time and then just fill it right before you eat.
Yeah, that's what I do. You don't want to have it completely finished and bring it because the moisture in the whipped cream or the curd, if you're using it, and the fruit will start to degrade the meringue. Mm-hmm. And so what I do if I'm bringing it somewhere is I just bring all the parts, and then it takes no time at all to sort of throw it together.
And then what are your favorite parts?
I really love using a tangy curd in addition to whipped cream, which mm-hmm. is the traditional topping. So I'll use a lemon curd or a passion fruit curd, and you don't have to make it yourself. There are really good, high quality versions that you can buy that are in a jar. And then I top that with, you know, billows of whipped cream. I tend to make my whipped cream completely unsweetened. And then I just use whatever seasonal fruit is hanging around, and hopefully if I can find some passion fruit pulp, I'll finish it off with a drizzle of passion fruit pulp and then some confectioner's sugar.
Yum. Sweet and tart all in one mouthful. Delicious.
It is and so delicious.
It is so delicious. It's my favorite. You know, you do have all those egg yolks lying around, so you might as well try to make some lemon curd while you're at it.
Exactly.
Yeah, what else are you going to do with those yolks? All right, so pavlova, that would be a showstopper on Mother's Day for sure. Your mom will love you forever, give you whatever
forever.
You want if you bring her pavlova, says this mother. All right, yeah. What is on Good Food this week?
Well, we're celebrating mothers this week and the idea of learning from them. So we're talking to famed cookbook author Anissa Helou, who has done a really incredible job about recording recipes from her own mother and from older women wherever she travels. And so she gives us some advice. We talked to New York Times critic at large Tejal Rao about how grandmas feel once their way of cooking has been documented by the world. And then I interviewed this amazing sort of Instagram star, Natasha Saji, who creates bouquets that resemble classical paintings, still lives. But her twist is that many of the flowers she makes are from sugar and traditionally used in cake decorating. Her work is extraordinary.
Wow. Do you eat these bouquets then?
You can eat them, but the reason she started making them is so she wasn't bound to seasonal flowers, that she could make bouquets with a mixture of flowers, sort of like a fantasy pulled from many different seasons.
Oh, wow.
And then we talked to Chez Panisse alum Claire Pitak, who's been in London for years with her bake shop. And she famously created the wedding cake for Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. And she has a new cookbook out that takes inspiration from Northern California and her home in England. And we finish off with one of my favorite restaurateurs, Asma Khan, who is a British chef and restaurateur. And she reflects on the cultural influences and recipes found on her mother's table.
All right, that sounds like a do not miss show. Good Food. You can listen Saturday mornings at 10 and wherever you get your podcasts. Also, subscribe to the Good Food newsletter at kcrw.com/goodfood. Evan Kleiman is the host with the most. Thank you, Evan.
Thank you so much, Madeline. Always a pleasure.
That does it for this week on Press Play. Our producers are Angie Perrin, Bennett Purser, Marcel Hutchins, and Nihar Patel. Michelle Aloy is our line editor. Amy Ta, our digital editor. Sarah Sweeney, our managing producer. Our technical director is the ever super Mario Saavedra. Tune in right here for KCRW's Left, Right, and Center tomorrow. I'm Madeline Brand. I'll see you on Monday.